Delighted you could be here. Didn't get to speak with all of you visitors yet, but we're really happy that you've chosen to come and share with us. I want to thank Corky for all the excellent work that he does with the bulletin, and I want to encourage each of you to take time to read through the article that deals with the great grace of God that we spoke about last week. For parents, I'd really like to encourage you to look into Word Points as an opportunity to help share with your children as well. On Tuesday this week at Deer Trail, the study in Mark, which will be chapter 5 primarily, will be led by Dan and Tim, and it will be at 1 p.m. rather than at 2 p.m. It was deemed appropriate for some who couldn't quite keep that schedule at 2 and had to leave, so we're going to be meeting together at 1 p.m. this week at Deer Trail for the community reading in the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to try every month, at least once a month, to talk to moms and dads. And I do that with great trepidation because if you ask, how did we do? We tried, and we often failed. But it was on me. It certainly was not on my lovely wife, Cindy. And so as we think today about how do we impart faith to the next generation, we want to think about listening to God at home. And how do we do that well? How do we communicate with our children those truths of God? I'm not seeing anything on my screen, but I see that you're seeing something on your screen. So that's encouraging. I don't know how to, we may have something come up here, or Jared may have to just come up and lay hands on it or something. I'm not sure. All I knew to do with these things, thank you, so he already did it. I just pray and he lays hands on it and everything works out wonderfully well. So I'd like to suggest with you, now that we're all ready to slide number 2, that I think there are 3 basic principles that help build our homes and help build our church families as well. And that's a disciplined reading of the Scripture, that's time devoted to prayer, and that's a focus at our own soul and the souls of everybody else in the world, having an outward look to look for those who are looking for Him. I also, as I get to watch congregations, Lord willing, will be at Auburn this evening. I'm really looking forward to getting to be with the church there. That as Cindy and I traveled in at least the eastern part of the United States, not much out west, we would learn something everywhere we would go about how can we better teach ourselves, how can we better teach our children, how can we help share in a church family. And so one of the things that really attracted our attention probably in the early 1980s was the idea of a measured Bible reading guide. We mentioned to you a few weeks ago, Don Bassett sharing with us through friends the daily family Bible reader at our wedding. And so we started that right away, every morning, pretty early. And then we watched congregations who would encourage measured Bible reading goals. And we would watch classes where the teachers of the little ones would say, were you a daily Bible listener? And you would often find 100% with the little ones because mom and dad took time every day for the children to hear something from the words of God. We also need to model prayers like the prayers in the Scriptures. And we need a soul-searching outlook. We need service groups to help us together to reach out to look for others who are looking for Him. So most congregations that grow, not simply swell, but employ these methods of Bible reading, devoted prayer, and outreach. So I want you to think of that foundationally as we move through the year. God is our Creator, and He seeks to communicate to us about Himself in our relationship with Him, with our family, with our social relationships, with our business relationships, and our recreational pursuits. I didn't take time as I was hurriedly trying to put together the PowerPoint, and I had a granddaughter waiting for me to go to the game. But I really wanted us to see a pie picture. Because I can remember, I think I can remember, and I think I could probably find the resource. As a little kid in the 1960s, a little older kid in the early 70s, I think I remember some workbooks that showed a pie. And I think I remember a slice of the pie being church or God, and a slice of the pie being family, and a slice of the pie being recreation. I don't want to tell you, I think that pie was all wrong, right? Because God is the whole pie. Everything we do is God-centered. Whether I'm on the basketball court, whether I'm on the volleyball court, whether I'm on the soccer field, whether I'm on the golf course, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at work, whether I'm in school, God is the center of my life. And so I can't compartmentalize Him in, okay, 2 hours Sunday morning. It doesn't work that way, folks. God owns all of us, and He owns everything we are. And so we need a God-centered life, not just God-centered church time. And so this didn't really display that, but that's what I mean by God is the pie in every aspect of our relationships. And so the Bible is the most valuable book that you could ever read. In fact, for many people in generations past, it was the only book they owned. Now, there were a lot of people reading The Pilgrim's Progress, and I'm still encouraging you parents to share the videos with your kids. But it was the Bible which was the good book that sat on the mantle. And when a visitor came to your home, and if he was going to spend the night, you would invite him to read a portion of the good book. And if he had no interest in reading a portion of the good book, you may not have had much interest in feeding him breakfast next morning. Because God and His Word were foundational center in lives of people in our culture. The Bible is the friend of all who seek to know God. It's His love letter to us. I thought last night, but I kind of wish I had more of my dad's letters. I love reading from my grandfather, who was a well-educated eighth grader. And so as we listen to God speak to us, it helps us see things from God's perspective. So as we're thinking about listening to God at home, I was thinking this morning, reflecting on this, we didn't have, quote, daily devotions at our house. We didn't. But I remember a time in high school when Harry Rice came, and we were meeting every Sunday afternoon to try to answer the questions and give them back to the preacher Sunday night. But what I do remember as a kid is WETZ, New Martinsville, West Virginia, 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. And I would hear familiar voices singing, people that I would hear singing at church. And then I would hear a familiar voice speaking, and Dad had that radio cranked up between 8 and 8:30 on Sunday morning. And then when he would be going out to preach in all these hills and hollers in West Virginia, he'd be trying to dial in, try to get a radio station with the Children's Bible Hour with Uncle Charlie. It's still playing. I came across it not long ago from Michigan. And so what my dad was doing was he was putting God's Word out there for us as kids, almost subliminally. I don't think we were paying too close attention. But now I remember. And so I'm encouraging you with all of the vast technology that we have, put those earbuds, have something really good going on in those kids' ears when they're listening. And so there's great blessings in the reading of Scripture. Renee's reminded us of that. Can you picture Moses, a 120-year-old man who desperately wants this generation to live? He has buried 603,548 men over the last 40 years. Last 38, actually. He has seen men die like strong, healthy, vibrant, young soldiers who did not believe. And he sees their kids now looking up at him. I'm presuming he's up higher. And looking up at him and saying, "Old man, what do you got for us?" And he's saying, "Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Parents, teach your children. Teach your grandchildren. so that you may live long in the land that God is bringing you. This land of promise, which I have vomited out the people of corruption, and now it's your turn to enjoy this precious land. And so he will say to these parents, remember. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my word, so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Remember. And then, as Deborah reminded us, to remember Psalm 78 and the value of parables in teaching. We began the year with Psalm 78. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children. And Emma, I just have you in my mind right now. Caitlin, the children yet to be born, teach your children that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Now, Wayne, I never noticed until this morning, Kristen Kirkendall Flat. Teach your children. You taught your children. So, what this is about grace, not guilt. I think Bruce Wilkinson was right. I think he wrote this probably in the 1980s when he was giving us the daily walk. There's more guilt amassed upon the consciences of Christian parents regarding their failure on this issue than hardly anything else. Whenever the subject surfaces, men cringe at it, women harp on it, and children shudder at it. I can just remember looking out the window in Coleman, thinking my little girl's going to college, and I haven't taught her enough. And Cindy comfortingly would say, you taught her to love God, you need to trust her. So this is not a guilt trip. There's some major obstacles that we face in regard to how do we impart to our children the knowledge of God. There is time management issues. We are often too busy. We need to prioritize. And we are concerned that this is too difficult, and it is not easy. It is not for the faint of heart to share with our children. It can be boring, it can be tedious, especially when we're inexperienced, and it should not be. Or we may think it's not worth the effort. We're not going to see immediate results. The kids are not going to sit still at church. And by the way, true confession, my dad said, can't you ever sit still in church? I decided to be a preacher, I can move around a little bit. So mom and dad, be patient, hang in there. And then I want you to notice that there's a distinction between parental Bible lectures and Bible reading. This is not a time to lecture your kids. It's not disciplinary preaching. It's voluntary praising. And so as J.P. Miller said in 1977, I think it was, whatever you do, boys, don't bore them with the Bible. This is exciting information. These are revelations that are new. And don't simply make this, oh, well, I guess we better start doing this because I think I got my kid's third pink slip from school. Don't panic. And there is oftentimes a lack of men stepping up to teach your children. We would love to pass them. Our wives are obviously better teachers of children, but it still tells dad to teach your children. Don't exasperate your children. Train your children. Discipline your children that they might know and love God. Bring them up in the training, nurturing, and instruction of the Lord. So let's quickly Notice what family Bible readings are not. They're not Bible class Monday through Friday. They're not parent opportunities to become a preacher. The opportunity for a parent to lecture a child in an area of misbehavior and use the Bible as a club to threaten him. It is an opportunity for parents. It must not be an opportunity for parents to verbally discipline their children. Those are reproofs, not readings and devotion. So family time devoted to God is what we're thinking of. We're thinking about impressing our children with the truths of God, the love of God, the kindness of God. And these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. There is the didactic, serious training that needs to take place, but there's the casual thing that where you're talking, when you're walking, when you're interacting with your children, that you're speaking about God. And so you tie them like symbols on your hands and you bind them on your foreheads. You write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. When we were sharing this back in the 1980s, we started noticing parents who would have simple short scripture as you would walk down the stairs, on the mirror, on the door, just reminders of God and His truth all over the house. It's not a bad idea. Now you ladies can do it in such a beautiful way. And so as we read these truths of what is going to help children to survive, we've got to fix these words of God in our hearts, in our minds. We've got to tie them as symbols on our hands and bind them on our foreheads. We've got to teach them to our children, talking about them. Does that sound familiar? I think we just read that. But this is an... Do you know that Moses would repeat things to this audience? Why would he do that? Why would he have to say the same thing over? To impress them so that when you come into the land, in your days and the days of your children, may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. All your life, hold on to these truths. There were a lot of people who tried to help us as young parents. One particular lady I'm thinking of in Lafayette, Indiana, was always feeding me stuff when I'd be up there in meetings. And she gave me a cassette tape. You guys have no idea what a cassette tape is. Yeah, it was after 8-track, so we were moving up, okay? And Steve and Annie Chapman, I listened to this. You can Google it. You can find it. I listened to them singing on Friday. It's called The Greatest Gift. You can give your children houses, and you can give them land. The riches of your efforts and all your best laid plans. But of all that they inherit, of all that you could will, please include the unseen treasure. Don't notice that typo there. Please include the unseen treasure of a life that God has filled. Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass Him. Pass that knowledge on to your children. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus. And for those of us who are thinking of retirement, one day the house will crumble and time will turn the land to dust. And when all accounts are empty, where are you going to invest their trust? Won't be in the house. And as much as I love land, there won't even be in the land. That their trust has to be in the Lord. But if the riches you give them is the wisdom of His ways, then the wealth you leave your children is going to last through all their days. That just rings. You may want a copy of it. So leadership begins at home. It begins with dads. And children know what book we are fascinated with. Children know what websites we go to. Children know what we scroll through. Children observe what is our passion. So let's pray that our priorities show Him. So five ingredients of successful family time in the Word. First off, you have to schedule it. It doesn't just happen. I heard probably 30 years ago that there was this weird family in Dothan, Alabama, that they couldn't seem to get these readings done necessarily in the evening. Just kids going different directions. And so I think what happened was, and I'm presuming Dad had something to do with this, is we're getting up early. And I mean early, early. Is that the way it was? Early, early? And we're gonna read God's Word. We're going to listen to God. May not be that long, but we're going to do that every day. Now, that took discipline. That took a dad who said, man, I'm going to have to get up earlier. Mom's going to have to get up earlier. Kids are going to have to get up earlier. But this is a priority in our home. So we make time for what is important to us. All of us do. Eating's important to some of us. We kind of make time for that. I know it's just crackers at lunch. I get that. But we all make time for what's important to us because we recognize we need that food. And I'm told that up to 85% of our time is scheduled. You got a planner? You got a phone? You got a planner? And you schedule what's important to you. How much time do I schedule? And I'm preaching to me here, not to you. How much time do I schedule for just me and God? Not teaching somebody else, not teaching a class, not working on something. For me, how much time am I listening to God? I had a very sobering walk Friday. I had a man get in my face. Well, he was actually along my shoulder. But he said, Alan, if you're going to survive, you're going to have to draw closer to God. I think he said closer. He may have just said close to God. But he nailed me. Because I do a lot of reading for you, do a lot of reading for other people. But how much do I listen to God for me? That I'm going to have to answer. And the answer wouldn't be real good right now. So that's got to change. So I got to plan that. I've got to execute the plan. It can't. The book sitting beside my easy chair doesn't get read just by sitting there. I got to pick it up. So it's going to take participation as young families of the majority of family. Sometimes Dad can't be there. Guess what? Sometimes Mom can't be there. Guess what? Sometimes Mom and Dad can't be there. And the caregiver, I don't know if we call it a babysitter anymore. The caregiver, you say, here's what we do in the evening. Here's what I expect you to read with my kids. Here's what I want the kids to do in response. You plan that because it's important to you. And these times aren't always enjoyable. They're not always fun. You got a kid's got a dirty diaper. You got a kid that's got a runny nose. You got a kid that won't sit still. And you still are trying to impart God's truths to those little kids. And so, Mom and Dad, you get to hold them and try to impart God's good news. It takes tenacity. It takes staunch discipline. And then it takes meaningful interaction. If you're trying to teach the kids how to speak like Shakespeare, read a translation of Shakespeare. But if you're trying to get kids to understand in a language they can understand, use a translation they can understand. And there are lots of good ones out there. And so we want the kids to be able to understand what's happening. I asked one young mother to bring a copy of the Read and Grow Picture Bible today. She said, can't do it. My son took it to the other grandparents this weekend because he didn't want to miss one night of reading the Read and Grow Picture Bible. So next week, moms and dads, bring what you got. Let's pile the table up back here. Say, this stuff works for me. It might be a website, might be a podcast, might be a book. But bring what you got and let's say, hey, this is what's working for my family, and let's share that. Can we do that? I'll try to remember to remind you on Saturday. So I'm thinking of the older kids now. And I'm thinking about Louis Giglio. Isn't that an interesting name? Can you remember Louis? Just Louis. Or Giglio. If you can do either one of those, you can Google Giglio, okay? And so his book, Indescribable, this is the first one of at least three really good ones. He talks about a giant God, and he takes Isaiah 40, verse 12, and said, who has measured the oceans in the palm of his hand? Have you ever been to the ocean? Oh, that's a song. Have you ever been to the ocean? The water stretches for miles and miles, as far as your eyes can see. How much water is there? Well, scientists have done the math, and they believe the Earth's oceans contain approximately 332,519,000 cubic miles of water. I know, a cubic mile is kind of confusing. But think of it this way. 1 mile is about the same length as 14 2/3 football fields. So imagine a box that's 14 2/3 football fields long, 14 2/3 football fields wide, and 14 2/3 football fields deep. Now fill that box with water, and that's 1 cubic mile of water. What you'll need is 332,519,000 of those boxes to equal the water in our oceans. That's more boxes and more water than I can imagine. Well, does all that water have, what's that have to do with God? Well, the Bible says He can measure the oceans in the palm of His hand. That's how big He is. Try scooping up some water in your hand. How much can you hold? Half a cup? A fourth of a cup? God can hold much, much more than that. God can scoop up all the waters in all the oceans on the entire earth and hold it in just one of His hands. God is a giant God. And compared to Him, we are just teeny tiny specks. But we aren't specks in His eyes. Every single person on earth is important to God. We're so important that He sent His Son Jesus to the earth to save us from our sins, which are the things we do that are wrong. Because God is so big, we know that His love for each of us must be huge. There's all kinds. There's 100 of these. For 100 days of the year, you could read some indescribable, amazing things that God has done that scientists are now recognizing. And then He's got a next one. And then He's got a next one. And if you remember, we asked you to read Psalm 78, that second longest psalm. And then we looked at Psalm 119. And that would take us through 22 days, just 8 verses, which would take us less than a minute to share with our children. Some of you are doing that and doing it very well. Remember, this is a spiritual discussion. And our kids will have some really neat stuff to share with us if we'll give time to listen. And so all of whatever we do with Giglio or anybody else, it needs to be God-centered. It needs to be based upon His text. Needs to be centered around the Bible. Let your children comment. You'll be surprised at what they perceive. An effective reading guide should point back to Scriptures, not overshadow them. The Daily Family Bible reading that Gary Henry's doing, I'm pointing back behind Ethan because it's on the back table there. You can just simply go to WordPoints and access it digitally. But our two-part goal is this, and I think I have them out of order. You look at this. Building godly character, who we are. Building godly habits. How do you build godly character? You build godly character by building godly habits. That's how the character comes. Character is who God knows you are, not who other people think you are. We're interested in building character. So, very quickly, 7 reasons why we don't do it. One, we're tired. We're exhausted by the end of the day. We don't seem to even have enough time to do that after all the meals, the shopping, the hunting, the ball games. Did I mention the ball games? And ball games are great. A lot of fun, especially if you're not having to run up and down the court. And maybe there's that personal entertainment. But when my soul pants for the Lord, I want to make time for Him. And so we may be thinking, well, my children don't want them. You know, there are things your children don't want that you want them to do. I don't know that your children want them to clean their room. I think I might know some kids who don't want to brush their teeth. I think I might even know some kids who don't want to make their bed. But what do you say, Mom and Dad? You're going to do it. We're going to do it. So when something is good for our children, we try to make it palatable. School, medicine, we try to make it something that's palatable for them. But here's a challenging one for us too. You know, your wife may not want to do it. Or your husband may not want to do it. I don't want to mess with that. Don't they get enough of that at Bible class? that may be a challenge for you. Your sharing with your children may have to be done maybe in their bedrooms because dad's not wanting to do that. Or mom's not wanting to do that. And you know, when dad starts out reading but he becomes frustrated and he quits after a few days, have you ever started something more than once? I don't know if you're a dieter or not, but are you on your first one? You may have had a restart. Sometimes we just need to restart, and there are going to be lots of those. Because it didn't happen 30 days in a row doesn't mean it can't start again. And here's a challenging one for us. My children's ages are just too varied. I've got a 2-year-old and I got a 12-year-old. You do something with your 2-year-old, you do something different with your 12-year-old. You can do that. 5 minutes at bedtime or at breakfast. Or we tried it before and it failed. That's typical. That is typical for all of us. We continue to get back up and start again with our exercise regimen. Or here's one that's really an issue. I don't know the Bible well enough. Dads feel really intimidated here. I just don't know all the Bible. Well, hello. Nobody else does either. We're all in the learning stages, and the way my teachers tell me I'm supposed to learn stuff is read it, kid. So the way I learn about God is by reading. We're not asking you to lecture. We're not asking you to preach. We're asking you to simply sit beside your kids and read the Bible for 5 minutes or less every day. You'll be amazed at the difference it'll make in you. And then finally, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to teach. Guys, one of the things I've noticed is our wives can, in a very hopefully gracious ways, mom, kind of help dad figure out how can I do this well for the good of the whole family. All of us can learn, and all of us can do better. And grandparents, are you reading the precious book to your grandchildren? What do our grandkids see is most important to us? Is it Netflix? Is it Disney? Or is it the very words of God in a video that teaches grand things about God? Lots of different ways to share His good news. So I'm seeing churches that are implementing measurable methods to encourage daily Bible reading. I'm seeing churches, and I haven't said anything to the elders about this yet. So don't be getting on the elders' case about, hey, why aren't we doing this? Let's start at home. But I've seen churches that at the end of Bible study, every teacher would say, hey, are you a daily Bible listener, daily Bible reader? I had one of you young men come up to me last week and tell me, hey, I read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And what are you thinking? Well, 2 John, 3 John, they're not very long. He read them. He took the initiative himself to just read them. I don't think he was trying to get backslapping praise. But he read them. And so we're trying to get everybody to read the Word of God. And generally, the youngest classes have the highest percentage. And every one of us can read a verse a day. We can listen to scriptures while we're riding to work. And the motivation is mutual encouragement. It's not an effort to punch your card or to try to impress other people. It's to see Jesus. So I hope you don't go away here feeling, man, he just beat me up. You just walked all over my toes. I'm not interested in your toes, not your feet. I'm aiming for your heart. Because there's a day that's going to come when your kids are going to walk out that door and you're going to do just like I did and think, did I teach them? Did I tell them? Did I share? And the answer will be, not well enough. But by God's grace and by their desire to know Him, they will be able to look back and say, my dad really did love God, and he loved me. My mom put me above herself every time, and the greatest gift a parent can give is a life lived for Jesus. So moms and dads, your children may not be serving the Lord right now, but if you taught them the very words of God, they can never get away from that. They may not be seeking the Lord right now. They may not be showing a love for the Lord, but they know the way home because you taught them that God is always the way home. So if we haven't done that yet as parents, let's get started and let's show them the love of God in our hearts and watch it blossom in theirs. Let's do that even now as we stand and sing.